And I said to myself, sit down, sit down, you're rocking a boat. I said to myself, sit down, you're rocking a boat.
Last winter, my wife and I took a few days vacation and went to a resort called Atlantis in the Bahamas. We had a very nice time there. It's, you know, it's got a hotel, it's got a casino, it's got beaches, it's got pools, it's got a big aquarium, it's got lots of restaurants, and it also has a big marina, a marina that is filled with huge yachts. People who go traveling from one place in the Caribbean to another and maybe work their way up to the Bahamas. And these huge yachts have crews of, I don't know, a half dozen or more people all taking care of the rich and or famous people aboard those yachts. What is that life like? Well, my next guest can give us some insight into that because she did the job for 3 years and writes about it in her book, The Insider's Guide to Becoming a Yacht Stewardess, which she has just updated and republished. Julie Perry, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks so much, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm guessing you can't get seasick in this job.
Well, and a lot of yacht crew get weeded out very quickly, learning that they're susceptible to it.
So when we're talking about yachts, I said 50, 100, 150 feet. Is that about the size of the boats you're talking about?
Actually, even larger. The term for them is now super yachts or mega yachts, and that's any yacht over 80 feet. And then we start getting into the range of, it used to be the average was about 140, now it's about 170, and moving quickly toward 200 feet. They're getting larger and larger. We even have giga yachts now, which is any yacht over 300 feet.
Oh my goodness. What does, you know, let's talk about the smaller size. Let's 100-foot yacht. What does that cost, and what's inside?
Well, the cost is going to vary. I mean, you get something that's relatively old, used. You might be looking at a 100-foot yacht costing around maybe $5 million used. But then there's others that are the owners are spending up to $20, $30 million. And anymore, you're even finding owners spending over $100 million to $200 million on some of these much, much larger yachts.
Please tell me that the people on board there make good money.
Excellent money. That's one of the biggest perks of the job. And the best part is that you aren't really spending it because everything on living on board is covered.
So yeah,
you've got your room and board are covered. Your food is covered. Usually basic toiletry items are covered. And you don't really have any expenses. You know, you don't need a car. You maybe need a cell phone bill. Some people still have homes ashore and things like that. But for the most part, you're not paying for much. No electric bills, gas bills.
How long would you go out for on a trip? And what would you do? What's the job of a luxury yacht stewardess?
It's varied, quite varied. You wear many, many hats. You might be responsible for cleaning the rooms. I say to everyone, think about it when you go to stay at a hotel and all the things that are done for you while you're there. You have someone cleaning your room. You have someone serving your food. You have a concierge. You have the people at the front desk, the bellhops. All of those are tasks that a yacht crew has to do on this basically floating resort thrown out in the middle of the ocean. Although I should say, not necessarily a resort. Now, the cruise ships, and everyone's aware of what goes on cruise ships, those would be floating resorts. I call yachts and mega yachts, super yachts, floating boutique hotels or even palaces at sea. So everything that the guests are going to need, from their rooms cleaned to excursions set up to go ashore, food served. Sometimes, yeah, you're even cleaning toilets.
Are you working all day long? Is there such a thing as time off?
Well, typically, the average yacht, about 140 to about 200 feet, they're going to have usually between 8 to 12 crew. And the interior department or the stewardesses may have three stewardesses on board, and they'll try to rotate throughout the day so that everyone gets a break in there. But pretty much, I mean, you've got 12 guests on board, and you're responsible for their care 24 hours a day. So if a guest wakes up at 5 in the morning and wants a sandwich, that chef has to get up, and there usually has to be a stewardess to serve it. So, you know, when you think about it that way, it's pretty tough when you've got owners or guests on board. But there'll be breaks then when there are no owners on board. It all depends on the season.
Do you get to enjoy yourself? Are you allowed to lie out on the deck in your bikini and enjoy the sun?
when guests aren't on board, most captains and even the owners don't mind that the crew take advantage of some of the amenities on board. It's not unheard of for there to be an extra week of no guests on board in the Mediterranean and the captain saying, okay, we need to go provision in south of France. So we're going to anchor off the coast of Monaco, and the crew can use the jet skis, take the tenders out, go water skiing, and certainly going ashore is completely allowed. And so we in our off time, have a lot of fun because we have all that disposable income.
Yeah. But during the on time, how do the owners treat you?
You know, it ranges. I get that question all the time. People want to hear that that 1% are completely evil, mean, cruel people. But I, you know, I had both kinds of guests. I think at the end of the day, people are people. And yes, these owners tend to be a little bit more eccentric because basically they can have anything they want at any time. But I had some very wonderful, amazing guests on board that treated us very well. I also had some pretty nasty trophy wives and the like that like to just ask for things that, you know, they know you can't really.
Okay, tell me about some of that, Julie. That's what we want to know.
That's what everyone wants to know, right? I say someday I may even write another book that's just those confessionals. Names changed to protect the innocent, of course. But yeah, there were some extreme examples. I mean, every yacht crew member carries in their pocket stories that will make your jaw drop of once a guest who needed a garment dry cleaned in the Caribbean, but she didn't trust the dry cleaners there. So instead, she bought a round trip ticket for a crew member to fly to New York, get the garment dry cleaned, and return to the boat the next day so she could wear it to an event on another yacht.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And then there's owners who, you know, they may have kids that are spoiled rotten, and the kids say, we want pizza. And the owner comes to, or the charter guest comes to the chef and says, can you make my kids pizza? And the kids say, no, we want Domino's. So the owner gets a hold of his friend a few yachts down the way who has a helicopter because they're out in the middle of the sea. Helicopter flies into Nassau, picks up Domino's and brings it back.
Wow. You see, now this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is the spoiled little rich kid thing that we all figure is going on out there. But those are sort of excesses of the wealthy. I'm talking about how they treated you or the accommodations on board. I mean, do they care about your comfort and that you're a human being, or are you almost like a yacht slave?
No, it's actually a very good life. A yacht crew are treated very well. Occasionally, you can't help the charter guests that come on board because yachts that are owned where the owner wants to offset the cost so he decides to rent it out, you know, you never know what you're going to get. But typically, they're well behaved, and they're a lot of them, when you get to this caliber, this level of money, they're used to having servants around them all the time, and they typically have learned that it's best to treat them with respect.
But were there times where you would say to somebody who was thinking about coming on board, or you were thinking about going somewhere else, and the gossip would go back and forth, you definitely don't want to work for the Thompsons?
Oh, a lot of that. A lot of that. And there are yachts that are flagged that way. So you go in to interview and come back and talk, and go to a yachting bar that night and talk to some crew, and they say, oh, no, did you not hear? You know, he actually lives on board full time for months at a time, and is up every hour wanting food, or has once told one of the crew members to walk the plank.
Really?
Yeah.
Now you visited,
according
to your book, you visited 40 ports in 18 countries. Unfortunately, I only have a minute left, so give me a great one and a not so great one.
Oh, I loved Malta. Malta is an amazing place, just off of near Sicily, if anyone knows, over in the Mediterranean. It's like you step back in time. The movie Popeye was filmed there, if that tells you anything, and
okay,
you can still go and visit the set.
Yep.
Place not to go. Ooh, that's tough, because I typically can always find value in a foreign destination. I would say there are some of the Caribbean islands that were maybe a little overrated. I preferred St. Martin, St. Barts, and the more exotic European type of islands, and not so much the maybe the U.S. Virgin Islands or the Bahamas got a little old quickly. We spent a lot of time in Atlantis, and it's lovely, but after so much time, you're over it, and you want to go see something a little more exciting.
Yeah, that's the way I felt, and I was only there for 3 days, and I wasn't there on a big yacht. Julie Perry spent 3 years as a yacht stewardess and has written about it and encourages other people to do it in her book, The Insider's Guide to Becoming a Yacht Stewardess. Thanks for sharing the stories, Julie.
No problem. And people can download Chapter 1 from my website, too, if they want. WorkOnAYacht.com.
There you go. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America.